another presentation of bitterness that we find in the Bible. We started with the first one with Jacob and Esau and their parents, and we saw how they fanned the flames of bitterness. The parents did, and the boys did too. And sometimes we fan our own flames of bitterness, and sometimes we, maybe inadvertently, fan other people's bitterness when we counsel them, you need to stick up for yourself. Or, oh, and we counsel them to fight or flee. And those were the two words from last week. What was the biblical prescription for this that we saw last week? Anyone remember? Okay, let me go back to my notes from last week. It was one word, reconciliation. It's not fight, it's not flee, it's seeking and or giving forgiveness for whatever the thing is, okay? Now, if we know someone is or might be bitter, and we think this, we think they might be bitter, or we know they're bitter because of the way they talk to or about me or don't talk to me, we need to go and ask them two questions. Number one, what is your problem? Just kidding. First question. Have I offended you? Just go ask them, okay? And then secondly, what steps can I take to correct it? Those two things. That is opening that door to reconciliation if there is something there. Now, what if there is something there and that person really is talking to or about us or not talking to in such a way that leads us to think they're bitter? And we go and we ask them, have I offended you? What can I do to correct it? And they say, oh, no, everything's fine. But they don't change. Well, here's where if God returned right at that moment, he would look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because that's all God asks us to do. And the rest is on their part. Oh, remember 2, maybe 3 weeks ago? We were talking about that passage in James. You have not because you ask not. So we do that. We ask those two questions. And then even before we ask those questions and after we ask those questions, we're praying that God would move their heart to repentance. Because remember, and we've done this before, we think we know someone's mad at us, and so we're super nice to them. We're always smiling, make sure we shake their hand all the time. We go out of our way to be nice to them, do nice things for them, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't change. You have not. What do we want? We want them to change. We have not because we ask not. We're not asking God to change their heart. We can do all the nice things in the world. That doesn't change someone's heart. It takes God to change the heart. So we ask those two questions and then we pray that God would change their hearts. So tonight's example of bitterness is found in Exodus 15. Now, I want to reemphasize the importance of the verse we saw the very first week in Hebrews where it said, looking diligently. And I want to probably reemphasize that every single week as we look at different examples. We just don't realize how we often get bitter to some degree, okay? And so we don't deal with it the way that we should, because we don't realize it. That's why God had to say, look diligently, be on the lookout for this. Now, when you think of bitter, what comes to your mind? Somebody, describe someone that you've seen was bitter. Anger, okay? What else? How else? That would be the fight, right? The fight form of bitterness. What about the flee form of bitterness? What does that look like? What? Withdrawn. Like they just pull out of everything, right? Okay. What about if they're not like fight angry? They're just irritated. Oh, a silent treatment. There's another form of it. And they're not withdrawn to where they stop coming to church and they just stay in their house and they sulk and pout. Everybody's against me. Okay. What if it's not that bad? Just a little bit. Is that still bitterness? Well, we have to say yes, right? Okay. It's like, and Ray, I mean, no disrespect. I think you can laugh about this now. You would agree with it. It's like saying, I'm only a little bit of an alcoholic. So it's not the full blown sin. So it's okay. God said, you need to be on the lookout for this because you can be this and you don't even realize it. Looking diligently. In the first 14 chapters of Exodus, Moses, now he's led the people out of Egypt. And in chapter 15, they are the Pharaoh's army and all of that in the Red Sea. That's all behind them. And they are just celebrating and they're singing unto the Lord all about his mighty attributes and his great actions. I mean, if that were us, wouldn't we just trust God forever to see Pharaoh's army? And the Bible points out all of his high ranking army generals, whatever, were present, washed away. Wow. This huge wall of water we walked through on dry ground, and not until the army got in the middle of it, God brought the water down on them. We would just serve God forever. And well, let's look at our passage. Exodus 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Okay, they just finished their celebrating. They went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. 3 days from the Red Sea. Praising God for all the great things that God has done. 3 days later, they're complaining, they're murmuring against Moses. That's all it took was 3 days. Aren't you glad we wouldn't have done that? Because we all just said, oh yeah, we would have just loved God forever, right? Oh boy. Let's talk about the bitterness at Marah. Why did they become bitter at Moses? I want to start by keying in on that. They believed that Moses was the cause of them not having any water. Okay? Let me back up. Verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So they were complaining to him. They believed that Moses was the cause. After all, he led them from Egypt and into the wilderness away from the Red Sea. So who do you perceive as the cause for your suffering, whatever it is? Your fur getting rubbed the wrong way, something you don't like, something you didn't get, something you lost that you thought you should have. Who do you perceive as the cause of that? Who are you angry at? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. It says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now, those three verses, we looked at them before. Okay? Who killed Jesus? No. God. God's wrath being taken out on Jesus. It wasn't Judas who betrayed him. It wasn't Pilate who could have saved him. It tells us there in verse 23, him, Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God planned it before sin even entered into the world, because he's infinite, okay? He planned that to happen. It wasn't Judas's fault that he got arrested that night. God planned it. All the other disciples, Judas went out and hung himself. But if he had not done that, how do you think the disciples would have responded to Judas? Ooh, anger, right? Fight. That kind of bitterness presentation. And they would have been looking at him as the cause for them losing their Jesus, their Savior, which is how bitterness happens. We lose something that we think we have or need to have. But it wasn't Judas. It was God's predetermined counsel. So, in your notes there, the cause was not responding biblically to a lack of water. That's what took place at Mara. They did not respond biblically to a lack of water. The water they found, it wasn't good. And instead of... Did I do something off on your notes? Okay, if that's not in your notes, you need to write that in your notes. How about that? Okay. The water they found wasn't good. And instead of going to God in faith, they went to Moses in anger and bitterness. So the water's not good. They're 3 days away from their last source of fresh water. No doubt their water supply is getting low now, and they haven't found any water. This is a necessity, by the way. It's not like, you know, they desire a Harley or something. They need this. But this non-sinful lust, desire for water, has turned into an ungodly bitterness. They're not getting it. And they did not go to God in faith, saying, "God, we need water. Please. Please provide this for us." In verse 25, it says that God proved them. Exodus 6, or 15, verse 25. I'm sorry, that's not verse 25. Yes, it is. Verse 25, right at the end. God proved them. Okay? It means he tested them by not having fresh water. He was testing them to see if they would come to him. So far, from the time in Egypt when the plague started, they haven't had to do anything. God's been doing these plagues, and then God tells them, go and ask your Egyptian neighbors, okay? Ask the Egyptians for all of their jewels and gold and silver and expensive cloth, and they're just going to give it to you. That just does not make sense to me, but God made them do it, okay? And they took all this treasure and wealth out of Egypt, and they haven't had to do anything really except cross that Red Sea. That was like a little step of faith. And now they're 3 days away from this amazing thing that God did. He's testing them to see if they would come to Him. The next bullet point, I think, there is every time we suffer, most likely God is testing us to see if we first come to Him. Key word there is first. First come to Him. If you're a social media type, coming to Him does not mean after you post it. Or share it with coworkers. Or come home from work and like, oh, you're not going to believe what happened. We first go to Him. And the one we go to first is the one we believe can rescue us. Spend some time chewing on that one. The one we go to first is the one we believe can rescue us. And by the way, that's exactly what Moses did. The people came to him murmuring, complaining. Imagine 2 million plus people converging on you. What else can you do, right? He just went to the Lord. When others are murmuring and or complaining against us, we should go to Him and ask Him, how should I respond to this? Ooh, that's good. I think that's woven into that proverb that says a wise man studieth to answer. He studies, he thinks through before he opens and speaks. And that's exactly what Moses did. So I came across this this thing that happened to a pastor, an event that happened to him. He says, some years ago, I was visiting a church family when the husband said to me, I am so glad you are here, Pastor. Whew, you need to deal with my wife's bitterness. Woo, that's a good way to start off the visit from your pastor. Okay. Oh, we just love those kinds of visits, by the way. And so he says, I turned to her and asked, are you bitter? To which she answered, yes, I am. So I said goodbye. No, he didn't really. He asked her, why are you bitter? She said then with a raised voice, do you see that hole in the ceiling? It's been there for over 6 months. I said to the husband, you're right, she's bitter. We need to go to the Lord in prayer to see how you can help her overcome this bitterness. So he writes, I prayed, asking God to show him how to assist his wife concerning her bitterness. Then I finished and I asked him, what did God tell you to do? He said to me, fix the hole. Simple, right? Moses went to God. And God told him what to do. He did it. And the people became sweet for a while. If you know the Israelites, right? Now, we all have a part in helping people overcome bitterness. Keep in mind, what we do won't help. Only God can work that miracle of repentance. But He requires us to be obedient to use in however He's going to do it. Okay? So, here's a little action point for us. When others accuse me of failing to meet a need they have, I purpose to ask God how I might turn the bitter waters into sweet ones. Now, did that end it for the nation of Israel? Just because, no, it didn't. But just because we have victory over anger and bitterness today doesn't mean that we're just going to be at peace forever now. Okay? And if you're married, you know that, don't you? Right? Remember, God told us in Hebrews 15, again, look diligently. So how long was the nation of Israel free from bitterness from that day forward? Anyone want to guess? Just throw a guess out there. 3 days. Well, you're kind of close. 3 months. Okay, let's look at number two. The bitterness returns. And we'll go right into Exodus 16, verse 1. So that little incident at Marah is over with. They took their journey from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. No, they're not drama queens, are they? Actually, it was 2 months. 2 months. And they're back at it, murmuring against Moses. This is how it usually works with our bitterness. It's generally directed at a person, not God, generally. We see them as the reason for us not getting what we want. Or losing something we think we should have. This time, they're complaining about not having enough to eat. So, what can we do? If I am complaining about something, I will go to God, confess my sin, and call upon God to meet that need. So instead of going to God, they go to Moses. Okay, let's look at the cure for bitterness in this occasion here. Exodus 16 and verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them. There's that test again. Whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Now, this is the second time. First time it was water. This time it's food. Another necessity. Okay? And God sometimes deprives us of things that we think we need or that we really do need in order to test our faith and obedience. So let's back up to our last series we did on identity, our identity in Christ. Remember, traditional identity, modern identity, there's three things that we all look for: acceptance, security, and what was the third one? Success, or feeling successful, acceptance, security, and those are things God designed us to need. Acceptance is a need that we have met in Christ. Security in Christ, okay? And so even, it's not like someone robbed us of the election, or someone robbed me of a promotion, or I didn't get what I think I should have, or something like that. But even something that's intangible, we need to realize that God will deny us sometimes of things we need to see if we're going to have faith and obedience in Him. Okay? So what happens when we get angry at someone? Let's look at Exodus chapter 16 and verse 6. It says, and Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. Who were the children of Israel murmuring or complaining against? Right. And this was just because they didn't have enough water or food. Now, that's pretty serious, right? And I think about some of the things that rub my fur the wrong way sometimes. I'm like, looking for anyone that will listen so I can just share a prayer request with them. Because I have to put a spiritual spin on it. You know, I'll call it a prayer request. Drivers. Yeah, you know, those kind of drivers. And I don't know why this bugs me, but when I'm at a restaurant and I'm done eating, and I'm waiting for the bill, and I'm waiting. I've had my supper. It's almost time for breakfast. And my wife will vouch for this. I'll start making little sarcastic comments. So that's my flag that I am bitter. I should be looking for bitterness when I start saying, well, it's a good thing they serve breakfast here. You know, it's almost time. And like, all I want to do is give them money and they won't come to my table. Who am I really complaining against there? God. As you are when we complain or murmur about things or complain against God. How is it God's fault? Well, predetermined plan of God. He is completely sovereign. He has a will that he laid out before we were even born for our life. A complete plan. And just like we see here with the nation of Israel, some two serious moments here. A lack of water and a lack of food. And he did that, he said, just to test their faith and obedience. And now my wife's going to remind me the next time we're in a restaurant, and I'm looking at my watch because it has been 3 minutes and 37 seconds since the waitress sat us down and she hasn't been back here to take our order yet. She's going to remind me, who are you complaining against? And that's the truth, folks. That's looking at this in a biblical way. When we suffer, okay, irritated, offended, or lose something that we think we should have, God is behind, and ultimately, he wants us to see and know who he is. And he's using that to get us to look up. So, I purpose to God, instead of others, I purpose to go to God instead of others to pout or pound. A couple of P words there for you, okay? I purpose that I'm going to go to God instead of others. Sometimes we pout. Like, I can't believe they did this. Or pound. Are you guys serving breakfast? Because I'm about ready to eat again. You know, sarcasm. That would be pounding, I think. Sometimes our pounding can get a little more, Larry said it earlier, fight mode. Okay? They're gonna wish they never did that. We'll fix them. Instead, go to God. Let's pray. Father, help us with this. Father, you created us. You know us. You know me and each one in here inside and out, and you know where we're weak, even where we think we're strong. You know our weaknesses. And so you test us in those areas to prove our faith and obedience to you. And God, I think many times it should reveal to us, oh, we have a weakness, and we're not going to you like we should in faith and then obeying what you say to do. So God, please help us with that this week. In Jesus' name, amen.